Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 680. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid. What is up, good sir?
Nothing much. Hope everyone's enjoying himself on this fine Thursday evening during a Hall of Fame game. And I'm just surprised that, football already started.
I got about 12 alerts that game was on, and I still don't have it turned on my TV.
Watching preseason football of teams that aren't mine is like,
oh
yeah, I know you're still a fan, so it's different for you, but for me, I'm kind of like,
even for your own team, it's kind of questionable. Especially since the Steelers and the Cowboys now they're the only two teams that have four preseason games.
That's how it goes. Speaking of American's team, boy, let's talk about your man Cody Rhodes.
Oh my God!
The son of a plumber.
I just got done watching that segment before hopping on here to record, and Cody's promos recently have been really strange, to say the least. The one, the xenophobia filled one from with Anthony Ogogo was a little rambly, and this one was definitely a little rambly.
You know what? I was trying to figure out what vibe I was getting from Cody Rhodes, and you know what it is. When Jeff Jarrett was trying to be a babyface when TNA first started. It's so tone deaf. Like, he's out there, and I see, the graphic work for him and Malakai Black. I'm like, okay, it's heaven versus hell. They got Cody Rhodes looking like an angel and all white with the sun behind him. Malakai Black, like he's about to, fight on the level of Castlevania. So I'm like, they're just hitting us over the head where it's good versus evil. And I'm like, Cody Rhodes is already insufferable to begin with. Then they have that match, and he gets waxed, and I laugh. I would just laugh. I'm like, wow, this is great. We can go home early. I can go do something. And then Cody's talking about this. I carried this company on my back with my three nerd friends, and I fired them, and they didn't fire me, and it was a joke, and it's somebody else's time. He started taking off his boots, and I'm like, oh, whatever. Like, he got as much sympathy as Triple H did when he tried to do that nonsense when he lost to Brock Lesnar. I hurt my arm. Why don't you feel bad for me? It's like, you've been an asshole for 15 years. Nobody's feeling bad for you, Hunter. That's not how it works.
Yeah. I mean, that's one of those ones where I don't know why Cody doesn't know better. Because his previous promo didn't work, and this one really wasn't working up to this point either, but I guess he was committed to the bit. He was not reading the room very well, though.
It's like he's in he has tunnel vision. Like, it's this whole, I'm the NWA hero reincarnated. I'm the skinny version of my dad, and they're gonna like me. They look like they like my dad. It's like, no, they are not going to do that. Like, it's something that do, and it's just, ugh. Like, I watch it, it's kind of like a heel trying to be a babyface, but not in an ironic way. It's kind of like, he really thinks he's a babyface. He really thinks he's a hero.
And that's been the weird thing, is that he's gone from actual hero when their product started to thinking he's a hero when he's not now. And it's, he's not like a delusional type like Kenny Omega's playing, like, and I wouldn't even call him oblivious.
No, he's a Sith. He's like Anakin Skywalker in Revenge of the Sith. Like, you're a bad guy, you don't even know it. Like, Kenny Omega is oblivious, but it's on purpose. Like, you know he's a heel, pretend to be a baby face.
Right. Like,
no, this one, like, Cody's just, you cannot tell him that he's not the hero. Like, everything about is like, what are you talking about? I come out with the flag, people like me. Yeah, if you don't like America, leave. That's what you tell everybody. That's what all, you know, Superman and Captain America do the same thing, right?
Right.
No. Like we said before, and I think we had this conversation last time in this show, if your top, one of your top guys is being compared to a fascist, like Homelander, and you dressing like that, and you carrying yourself like that, and you're doing it, like, unironically, missed the point. And Cody Rhodes seen his missed the point. Like, I had no sympathy when Malakai Black knocked him out twice. It's kind of like, good. Shut him up. Go take those boots and shove him where the sun don't shine. Beat it. I'm sick of watching your matches. I'm sick of you cutting these 50 Cent Dusty Rhodes promo. And it doesn't help that your brother came. Like, the last time I heard your brother talking about, well, I don't believe in having help. You shouldn't have your hand out. Why don't you pull yourself up by your bootstraps and earn it?
Oh,
like, the sons of Mr. I ate in alleyways and ate pork and beans with bums are now being standoffish, you know, cultural elitist snobs? Like, ooh.
Yeah.
You know, it's a joke. You know, it's a joke to be made that Triple H is a better son than Vince McMahon and Dusty Rhodes than their real children. But I'll let somebody else make that comment, though.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I was ready to get into that one, or if I really feel like it. But yeah, I mean, it passes the smell test, if nothing else. Because, oh, yeah, though. Yeah, these recent Cody Rhodes promos have just, yeah, really done his father disservice. Oh, man. And, well, and then that was the other thing, like, him not reading the room. Like, everyone was cheering after Malakai Black attack. A, when he knocked him out, everyone was just happy about it. And, like, he pins him with one foot on his chest, and normally you're like, what a dick. But everyone was cheering for Malakai Black. And then they cheered for him again after he attacked him and took the boot.
And it's kind of like, yeah, you... Your idea of the story is it's not matched with the people see.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, it's a weird one because, yeah, they're playing opposite parts of how the fans are reacting. And it's pretty bizarre.
And I noticed that a lot with AEW, where it's like, not it happens, because we've talked about before, like, the whole thing with Rick Baker, they kind of did the same thing. It tends to happen where it's like, they normally push people the way the crowd goes, but not always. And it's just kind of like, it's just, I got, Rick Baker's a perfect example. Is she supposed to be a baby face? Is she a heel? Is she a heel that Tony Schiavone treats like a baby face? Does the crowd, like, you know, I never wrapped my head around that story at the pay-per-view where it's my old, she's an underdog working her way up. And she getting hugged by Tony Schiavone, like, after cheating three times and just being in the spotlight when she wasn't the champ. Like, she underdog, like Charlotte's an underdog.
Oh. Yeah. Just because she doesn't have the belt doesn't mean she's the underdog. Is essentially what's going on there.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, it's one of the first time I've watched Dynamite. Because I've either been working on Wednesdays or I've been working Wednesdays, either like morning time or evening time. This time I actually had the day off. And I was like, I'll go ahead and watch and see what's going on. You know, and I'll see the Trials of Jericho. I see Ubuntu Guerrero. I have never been impressed by Ubuntu. And I'm glad Jericho didn't have a heart attack off the top rope.
Oh my gosh. That that match was just not good. And Jericho doing that, what the fuck is he calling that thing? The Judas effect.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that everyone's got to stand there to take any type of a move, but Juventud just really felt like he was there for all too long and just waiting for that move to be executed in slow motion.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, it is what it is. But it's kind of like, I get the story behind it, and it's a cool story, although, like, Chris Jericho also being sympathetic is like, if you say so.
that is hurting the most.
Yeah, I mean, it helps the MJF is an awesome heel, and he's a heel the right way, and...
Oh,
yeah, we forgot, we didn't talk about this before your show, but speaking about heel in the right way, wrong way... Yeah, that Max Caster thing.
You know,
I was never a fan of his to begin with. I thought it was corny. I thought it was corny when John Cena did it, but that was 15 years ago or 16 years ago when John Cena did it. So it was like, yeah, it was corny, but it was a different time, and John Cena was young, and it was like ironic corny, like it was supposed to be corny, but it was like slightly entertaining. And now we're running it back with a grown-ass man, and it was like, okay, it's corny, but it's not too offensive. That clip I saw this week online, and I'm like, how do you have four lines, and they're all trash, and they're all problematic? And how does it get through to, like, Tony Khan has to say, okay, I gotta take over production, because you clowns are making us look bad. Like, nobody thought they saw this, hyped it up, heard all those lines, heard Charlotte get slammed at herself for kind of going there. It was like, you know what, it's going to be a good move.
Yeah, it was, I didn't hear any of it, but I'm figuring that, like you said, like if Tony Khan's coming out and going, they really screwed the pooch on this one, guys. It's like, oh, that must have been pretty bad. And the fact, I think Cam, I saw a tweet from Cam that Max Caster's 32.
Yes.
I'm just like, oh my god. That was a little bit of a surprise. And yeah, like at least John Cena was doing his angle when he was in his 20s. Whew.
And people were just defending that saying was, you just want to cancel somebody. You just want to, like, no, it's not cancel, like, it's not entertaining. And it's kind of like, okay. One, you kind of knew he was that age. Like, you gotta be in your 30s to make a Duke lacrosse joke.
Oh.
That is old. Like, that is very old.
Yeah. Yeah, you've got to have a few years to remember that one. That really wasn't big. That's not one of those big enough stories to stick around.
Like, so you go there, you make a Simone Biles joke, which has been tasteless every time it's been made. Every comment's been made, it's just been tasteless. Then you make a, you know, PCP test joke that makes you come off like an anti-vaxxer. And then you make that last joke about that this 19-year-old woman that's been a thing, you've been making jokes about her and like basically trashing her. Like, what is the point? You're a grown-ass man. I think his dad was like on Hill Street Blues or something like that. Like, I saw his, I'm like, you are a grown man. You're not 19. You're not 25. You are 32. What are you doing? What is age? And people say, oh, that's yeah, whatever. I'm like, that's the thing. I'm like, no, that's not the thing. And all this, we grew up on South Park, you know, and I'm like, grow up. This is not South Park. We are not Cartman. They were not the heroes of the story. We are adults. Grow up.
Well, and even South Park grew up. So, yeah, that one's... Yeah, I did. Well, I guess I was okay with the corny raps, just because it did at least set them apart. But yeah, and I guess that was the other telling thing about it, was Tony Khan's like, yeah, I'm going to need to talk to him about what he's going to rap about from now on. Oh, man. Nothing like getting spanked by the principal.
Yep. And they, you know, at least he's more hands-on. He acknowledged that was wrong. It's like, you should have went through in the first place. And hopefully that's a lesson that everyone will learn. But it's kind of like, of all weeks, this week you let that happen. Like, you saw all the stuff Charlotte went through. And we will get to Charlotte. Don't worry about that. It's kind of like, it's... You don't have to do that to get over to be a heel. Like, if you got to be a... Like, if you know, nothing wrong with Cross, you know, getting heel heat and all that stuff. But if you got to be an asshole and just, like, you know... MJF has a way of doing it. I don't like his shtick, but he's very entertaining.
Oh.
He's effective at doing it. It's not my thing, but it's kind of like, I get it. And it's effective. And it's never a way where it's like, you know... feel like he's crossing the line. He should be crossing plenty of times where it's like, you know, somebody might try to jump him one day. It's kind of like this, but a right way.
Right.
Stuff like the childish stuff is like the puerile stuff. Past that, wrestling, like, we don't, it's a reason they don't really do the attitude era ruthless aggression stuff anymore, because like that shit did not age well.
Oh.
We're all older.
Yeah, because that's the other thing that's just continues to be telling. Like, I think it was on the last show that we did too. The demographics are for, like, now the key demographics for wrestling are shifting, skewing older. And it's just like, yeah, guys, we've been there, done that. It's not cool. Just move along.
But it's too many people in the fan base that wants that old Al Bundy good old days stuff. And it's like, just enjoy the wrestling that you get and stop that whole, if you want to go to back in the day stuff, watch Daily Motion, watch YouTube, watch the network, and you can get that. Stop trying to bring that stuff to today's thing. It's kind of like, you can't have it both ways. You can't complain about how wrestling doesn't bring in new fans, and then you scare off the new fans when you try to bring them in.
I just always remember back in the day talking about bandwagon jumpers, and at some point in my life I'm like, dude, they're just new fans, shut the fuck up. And I don't know when that transition happened, but it was quite a while ago at this point.
I mean, we all get that whole, or if you're a real fan, you know the blood type of X, Y, Z is like, get over yourself. Like, eventually that whole gatekeeping thing is tired and old, because it's like, and the most ironic thing about that is the Attitude Era stood out because it's one of the few eras where everybody liked wrestling and nobody made fun of people who liked wrestling. And like, it didn't matter what age group. Like I told somebody.
Oh.
That was the last time I watched wrestling where I could talk about it at school, I could talk about it at work, I could talk about it at home, and never felt embarrassed. Because everybody watched. To a certain extent. It, you know, it might have been times where it was fun at school. It might have been times when your grandma liked it, you did it. It might be times when you liked it, and your grandma didn't like it, and your kids thought it was corny. Attitude Era, everybody liked it. To a certain extent. And it was inclusive. It was fun. Now, watch this. Bring it in this. Who's this person? Let's bring back who was stank. Like, this whole, this stuck in this 1995 to 2003 era when we were all, like, to varying degrees, teenagers. And it's just stop. Like, just bringing that back, arguing about ratings. Like, I don't care about the demo guy. Who cares? I do not care. If people that used to be in WWE want to show up in AEW and they feel like it's best for them, that's fine. If CM Punk is coming and they keep beating us over the head with all these clues and Easter eggs like it's a Marvel show, God bless him. If that's what he wants to do, I have no issue with it. But don't be getting Adam Cole's mention. Tell him, you need to go AEW. That's best for you. Like, no. That's best for the fan. People need to separate the two. Kind of like, what's best for Adam Cole may not be what you think it is. You're saying, I want Adam Cole to be AEW because I want to see Adam Cole in AEW. And I want to see him have the match against the people I like. That's not the same thing.
Yeah, that contract situation is kind of an interesting one to me. I mean, I guess he doesn't have much to do on NXT. But I don't know how many times I said, I don't know what kind of reception he would get on the main roster.
Not a pleasant one. Not to say it's impossible, because it's kind of like people say NXT people never make it. Like, yes, they do. They're the right. If they get believed in, like we see Roman, we see The Shield, we see Finn Balor and Kevin Owens and all of them. Like, it's plenty. And most of the majority of women are NXT, came from NXT.
Oh.
It just depends on who you are. It's kind of like Adam Cole runs that thing where if they don't ignore the size will always be an issue. And they will beat you over the head with the size. Like, if they don't treat him like he's special, then he is going to fall right through the cracks. So that is the reason why, even though, like, when they had their little run on the main roster, it was kind of like they didn't make size an issue. But that's just kind of because they made an effort not to make size an issue. This man's an asshole. So if he wants to do something like, you know, you can see, oh, we're going to make Adam Cole a big deal and then put him on Raw and have him in a ring with, like, Damian Priest and Sheamus. You know exactly how that's going to turn out when you have that type of match. So if Adam Cole feels like he is no future beyond NXT, I don't blame him. The fact that they didn't realize the contract was coming up is hilarious, but that seems to happen a lot with wrestling because apparently the same thing's with Pete Dunne. His contract's coming up soon. It's kind of like, you guys don't have, you know, spreadsheets for this?
They were too busy cutting people to realize that some of the contracts were actually coming up.
And it happens a lot of times that people blame the wrestlers when the wrestlers say, I need my money. It's like, if they have a contract and the contract's up, it's kind of like, I'm a free agent. I'm an independent contractor. I can contract where I want. That's your fault. You know. It's funny how Jeff Jarrett was a bad guy when he did that. And, like, now in hindsight, it's like, was Ultimate Warrior wrong? Was he wanted the money he was supposed to get? No. Like, I'm not going to defend this. Like, I'm never going to defend the pockets of Mr. Man. You're out your mind.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that maybe earlier in my life I would have looked at it that way, but now it's just like, yeah, I'm with you. Like, if Adam Cole doesn't want to be there, I'm fine with it. Is AEW, AEW's probably still makes the most sense, honestly, because I was just kind of watching Ring of Honor before I did flip to the Hall of Fame game here. And, yeah, I mean, they're just a smaller promotion at this point. Like, I know that they've been around longer than AEW, but it's just a smaller promotion.
Yeah.
Even though they're on a huge network.
Yeah, it's just a funny thing now where it went from WWE and everything else to varying degrees. So, like, WWE, AEW, and then everything else. Like, AEW is kind of like picking and choosing who they want to work with, and you'll see people in different shows, like, you know, Tanahashi showing up on AEW. That's cool. Them working with, you know, Ring of Honor or Impact is cool, as long as it's not one way. Because if it was like Kenny Omega just going everywhere, taking everyone's belts, how's that make Impact Wrestling look good? It's kind of like, I would just say, I remember the vitriol Triple H got when he was beating Taz, and when Taz was ECW champion, and all the stuff he got when he was beating WCW to the point, and saying they're just being bullies. And there might have been some truth to that. I don't really see the difference between what's going on with that and what's going on with Kenny Omega. Like, I'm just going to go to your promotion, take your belt, and brag about it. Like, I don't see a whole bunch of Impact people that aren't friends with them on AEW. So, how's that with Impact?
Yeah, there's a lot of things that are either a one-way street or a very, very narrow avenue. Because even they had that NWA Women's Challenge match or whatever they were calling it.
Yeah, that was definitely official.
And you got Layla Hirsch going over on the Bunny to get her crack at Camille, the NWA champion, but... You know, that's been a very limited, you know, the NWA relationship has just basically been limited to the women's division.
Yes. It's funny where I saw them in the ring and I'm like, wow, so this feels like a video game. Like, I never saw somebody come to someone's navel before.
Yeah, that was almost a, you need to see it to believe it. Well, and someone did point out, and I didn't notice myself, but Camille was wearing high heels to boot.
I mean, I'm sure she... I don't think she's 6'6", so I know she's tall. But damn, like, it's... Normally, with visuals like that, that's a fetish you gotta pay on adult networks. But wrestling likes doing those whole contrasts with that, so it definitely stood out, because I was kind of, like, not watching, and then I watched, I was like, oh, that's very noticeable. So...
Yeah, but I do think that for the most part, Impact has basically gotten hosed on their end of the deal. Like, AEW gets the Good Brothers, and they get Kenny Omega the championship, and Impact Wrestling gets rid of Don Callis, is really about it.
Well, such as wrestling is normally not balanced.
No, it's pretty weird. That whole setup is a little strange to me.
But enough about that and staying in the gang. Kudos to AEW for doing their thing. I want to go back to me because I am a quote-unquote WWE mark. Did I say that right?
I guess so.
I'm a McMahon fanboy, as they say, so... I want to talk about NXT, and I'm rooting for Samoa Joe to murder Karrion Kross. It is funny where like Samoa Joe is never a sympathetic person because he's a bully, and you normally don't root for the bullies. I cannot stand Karrion Kross in both a good way and a bad way. Like, just he just rubs me the wrong way on multiple levels. And they just have, and it didn't help. Like, they stopped this whole the champs a chump thing. Now it's just, now he's just like, I'm gonna do what I want, and you can't stop. Like, don't bully William Regal. William Regal, what's wrong with William Regal? You know, he used to be a scoundrel. He's an old man now, the manager of retirement. Like, and I noticed you haven't seen Scarlett for a few weeks.
Yeah, when she got dropped, when he moved to Raw, I feel like she stopped popping up on NXT. And, it was kind of crazy that he was on NXT for all of, like, 10 seconds to get Joe to come down to the ring, and then that was it? Because the rest of it was just Joe taking out the guards.
And sweating. Like, Joe, let him move for more than 3 seconds. He, boy, get out the Old Spice. But I just like how that's set up, because the moment Joe went to the NXT, it's kind of like, who's going to beat Karrion Kross? He could beat Karrion Kross. But it's like, are they going to let him wrestle? And now they let him wrestle. I seriously hope he wins. I cannot take... Because it's like, if he ain't beating Karrion Kross, nobody beat Karrion Kross. Like, the way he had, like, anyone. Because he's beating everyone else.
Oh. And yeah, that's his biggest problem.
Yeah. Like, Like, they had to beat all these small guys, and all the big guys are already on Raw. And then when he messes with the big guys, you realize, like, yeah, he's not as big as he looks. So, I'm definitely looking for... NXT is my favorite show because it always makes sense. I'm definitely looking forward to that match. And like, I have rooting interest in that match because it's like, I love Samoa Joe because he's always been a cool bully. I can't stand Karrion Kross. It's perfect. You're supposed to root for Samoa Joe. You're supposed to root against Karrion Kross. Simple and effective. That's what NXT does. You know, they when they're not having matches, they have storylines like expand personalities. Like Io Shirai, yeah, we're tag team partners. I don't like, we're not friends. I don't like you. I don't want to hang out. This is work. Like, I don't hang out. I do not hang out with my coworkers off the clock. How do you not like that?
I wish they had done segments like this previously, but I'm like, you know what? Better late than never. Because the last 2 weeks they've been doing these, hey, I'm trying to get to know you segments, and no. Io Shirai is having none of it.
No. You don't want to be friends? Like, no, I mean, yeah, I don't like you. Like, come on, let's hang out. No. Alright, let's eat this. Oh, how you speak this language? Like, where are you from? Kansas. So it's like, what? Zoe Stark? Zoe the ignorant American? Throwing octopus on the wall? So I'm like, you're coming off kind of xenophobic.
Yeah, that was kind of the weird thing. I'm just like, okay, I understand that everyone might not be a sushi fan, but come on. I feel like every wrestler's heard of sushi at this juncture.
Yeah, and the whole thing is like, they don't bring her out some fish, some salmon, something like that. They bring her a whole ass octopus. And she's Aquaman. Like, they just go over the top with it. So, I like that they have them doing stuff, and I like that whole dichotomy with the two of them, because, like, it fits the old thing. Yes, we work together. I don't, you know, let's not think we're friends, because, you know, basically, if you're not Japanese and you're not Damian Priest, you are not going to be friends with Io Shirai. Like, she don't like anybody. And it's been clever, and that's why she's an awesome character. She's consistent. And I like Zoe Stark's thing where it's kind of like she's trying to do something and eventually it leads to either EO getting sick of it and turning or Zoe Stark turning. Hopefully we don't get there for a while because have them do stuff because it keeps them busy. But it's like, stuff like that's enjoyable. Like, I like stuff like that.
Oh. Yeah, it's a nice touch because, I mean, Zoe Stark has been such a blank slate that she needed something, and at least she's being a, because you could call her a tryhard. So, yes. You know, it's given her some personality when she, like I said, she was just a blank slate. She needed something more than just, hey, I wrestled some people.
Well, she was of indeterminate ethnicity. That was her other thing. So, but it's kind of like now she has a personality. She's a tryhard that got some sneaky wins, and now she's one half of the tag team champions. So, that's her thing. Hopefully, they find some teams for her to fight. Because, boy, the women's team seem to have an issue between Raquel Gonzalez and Dakota Kai and Indy Hartwell and Candice and whoever's going on, Robert Stone and what's her face?
Oh,
Frankie Monet, and I'm surprised I didn't see my girl Mandy Rose laying on the table scouting people. Like, they really have her, but she's gonna do the Trish Stratus career in reverse.
And was she even on this week?
She was not on this week, but that's the thing. That's the thing. NXT is a 2-hour show. They have a lot of people, and even when people be there each week, it's like you may not even see people. And the funny thing about NXT, they do not mind doing heel versus heel storylines. And they don't mind doing face versus face storylines. It's like, you're going to fight.
Oh.
Like the whole thing with, like, you know, Hit Row and Santos Escobar. They're both heels.
Yeah, this one seems to me seems to be working out better than the Karrion Kross Santos one. Really did not do anything for me.
You didn't have sympathy for the big man bullying somebody because his girlfriend kept looking at him.
Yeah, it really the whole 3-on-3. You know, you have a leader, you got two minions. Yeah, that storyline works out a lot better for all the heels involved. Because it was kind of awkward that, like, Joaquin Wilde and I'm trying to think of what the other guy's name is.
Raul Mendoza?
Yeah. They just kept on getting their asses handed to him by Karrion Kross.
And it's just, I mean, as they should, because he's bigger than all of them.
Well, yeah.
It's just a hilarious thing. But it's, and one last thing about NXT, how hilarious it is. You know Walt's going to hurt. He's going to destroy that man. He's flying across, you know he don't like flying. And they made him fly across the water just to prove a point. And he told like, you know what? All this is talk. You don't have heart for this. I can see through your soul. You do not have it. And you start barking at him in German. And it's just, I should not like Walter as much as I do. I should not, because he's just a big, when we talk about bullies, he's just a big stone-faced bully that's like, we're going to respect wrestling. If respect wrestling means I'm just going to beat the shit out of you.
Yeah, he's definitely someone I wish I caught more of. I know that Jeremy recommended the Dragunov Walter Part 1 match.
Oh, that's torture porn. Like, I don't know what's worse, the fact that, like, if that match would have been around with fans or myself. Because imagine having a match in a silent arena and you just hear him smacking the shit out of you, Dragunov. It sounded like he was getting shot. Like, that sounds like one of those European DVDs where, like, hey, I got this thing, you want to watch this? Like, awesome. That's what that match came on, man. It's kind of like, ooh, I'm not a shrinking violet, but that's just some rough stuff to watch. Now they're going to do that for the fact that that match stood out so much that they're going to run it back and bring it to the States tells you all you need to know. Because Walter don't fly unless he has to fly. Like, Walter just enjoys being in Europe, being a champ, and never losing.
And who, I mean, that sounds like a pretty good spot to be in. Because that, yeah, Walter would be another one. I don't know if Vince would know how to handle him at this juncture.
Yeah, as some people, and I don't think he wants to deal with that nonsense. I think he's there because he wants to do things his way. And the moment he can, he has no problem leaving.
Uh-oh. Yeah, everyone was a little bit surprised when he signed with the WWE, but I think he got some pretty friendly terms, whatever they were. Like, he made sure he was in a spot that he wanted to be in. So, good for him for sticking up for himself.
Good. That's right. Know your worth.
And know where you want to push yourself. I don't think there was anything else amusing there. Oh, yeah, I guess we can't go out without talking about the Indy Hartwell Dexter Lumis love story.
Yeah, it's kind of like he loses the match and she's like, "The hell with this, love conquers all." That's what cracked me up. Like, I was like, okay, they don't have to get together. But then Johnny won. And I was like, this seemed like something that WWE would do. Like, NXT, they'll do happy endings, like, sometimes. And then she's just literally like, you know what? Screw the stipulations. Screw all this. I'm just doing it. And it's like, talk about a long-term storyline. A long-term, goofy-ass storyline that's been playing for months. And then basically that's the payoff. A couple.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. Like, they've done a great job of dragging that thing out for like 4 months or something in that area. But yeah,
I'm just wondering who saw that pairing. Was it HBK and Troy? Like, you know what would be good? Let's just have creepy Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell. Let's just have a love story. Wouldn't that be funny? And have Beth Phoenix just push forward all the time and have Wade Barrett lose his damn mind. Wild Curtain, this is disgusting. Like, week after week, it was like a soap opera. Because Beth is like, let love conquer, let love bloom. It reminds me of me and Adam. And Wade, like, you just want to throw up.
I have really, and their interactions throughout this storyline have really helped sell it, just because they have been such polar opposites, and it's something that you would think Beth wouldn't be into in some ways, just because Dexter Lumis is the creepy guy.
I mean, but look who she's married to.
Oh. Yeah.
Like, you forget her husband is this whole, I'm going to ruin your life and your soul, Randy Orton, when I come back from injury. So, I'm the ultimate opportunist. And, you know, Beth was a bully for a long time before she became a lovable mom and baby face. Like, so, old habits die hard. And that's the thing. Like, you know, Beth was kind of rough when she started, you know, as a commentator. She kind of eased and got better. I just like that whole thing. Because Wade isn't all the way healed. Like, he just likes what he likes, and he's just smart.
Oh,
and I just think they have a great back and forth, and it just, like, smooths out. So, I'm just seeing where that goes next. The hard thing is, what do you do next when you get there? Because we saw what happened, like, with Mandy Rose and Otis. Like, it worked, and they was like, oh, I want it to work. Like, what next?
I mean, how many TV shows have hinged on a couple getting together, and the second the couple gets together, they have no fucking idea what to do?
Normally what happens is the woman gets shot, so...
Yeah.
Let's hope Indy Hartwell doesn't get assassinated by somebody, but you never know.
Oh, that would be pretty fun if we moved to that stage of wrestling storylines. Just really go full on soap opera storylines. I'd be here for it.
I mean, it's Impact. Impact kind of had the market with that, where it's like, we're gonna write you off the storyline. We're gonna murder you. I will never forget that. He was like, "Well, there's one way to write you off the territory. You're dead." who am I to judge? But I won't say talk for Raw for long, because like Raw was just goofy. Where the last 2 weeks, it's just been built around the women.
Yes, it has been.
The show has started with women and ended with women, and boy, Charlotte's just leaning like, I'm gonna make y'all hate me. And I don't know where she was going with that Simone Biles reference in that promo, and I don't know if she knew where she was going. But I'm just saying, like, of all the women that go there, Charlotte, Miss Woman Empowerment, Miss I Have to Protect My Mental Health because y'all keep talking about my plastic surgery and my dad and my dead brother. Y'all have her cut up. Like, I have no problem with Charlotte being a bully. She's awesome at it. I have no problem with Charlotte being a monster and rubbing it in. She's good at that too. She don't need to go there. They're like, it didn't make any sense. I saw Simone Biles talk about this, and hold up, I got a point. Oops, I forgot. But anyway.
She did read the room. I think that she might have, that might have been one of the few times where she's like, ooh, I put myself in a bad spot here. Let's restart this promo here. Maybe that's giving her too much credit. I don't know.
I mean, it sounds like it. Like, if anyone has the power to do that, it's her. And it sounds, and she's not the type to like lose focus. But it's kind of sound like, you know what? This ain't going the way I think. Like, they think it was going to go. Because that's the whole thing. It's a disconnect between wrestling promoters and their fan base. Promoters might be just all old school, old fashioned, all we get to bully people, stuff like that. It's like, the fans are not rolling like that. They will call you out on your nonsense. I would thought they learned their lesson when they did that with Jinder Mahal and Shinsuke Nakamura. They had Mahal make fun of Nakamura's accent, and the fans are chanting racist. To the point where he had to pot on the neck. He's like, I should have went that far. I'm like, you know how wrong you have to be for wrestling fans to chant at you and saying, stop being racist, and you're also a person of color? Like, you know, fans are more progressive than promoters tend to go there. And it's kind of like they do certain things thinking like it's still 1995. It's not. So start saying mobile stuff, and it's like, people have 70 for some mobiles. The ones who don't probably will not be at your event.
Yeah, it was a strange place. Like you said, like, it was a really strange place for Charlotte to go, but at least, unlike Max Caster, like, she did kind of go, oh, this is not good.
Because she's not a dummy.
Oh, man.
And it's just the whole thing is kind of like, last week is, they're going to make Nikki Cross feel, like, it's kind of like the push and pull where the story they're telling isn't matching what we think was going to happen. Because the story they're telling is like, you know, Nikki Cross is going to overcome a defeat. And showing that defeat won't crush her, and she's gonna overcome adversity, and it's about the journey as much as the destination. You can't boo that. That's a regular hero thing. The fan, like, oh, this bitch getting buried. Like, we're gonna see Charlotte win again, and Rhea Ripley out there just laughing at all of it. So then we get here again, and we basically run it back, and Charlotte is kicking the crap out of this woman for about 12 minutes, then misses one move. And Nikki wins clean. Not like 1-2, I kick out 3.1. Charlotte was laid out for like 5 minutes. Off of one mistake and one move. And it's like, that's the champ. The champ beat Charlotte fair and square in the middle of the ring. And not a lot of non-horsemen women beat Charlotte fair and square.
Even though, like you said, Charlotte Flair is 100% going to defend herself by saying that she beat herself.
Oh, of course.
In that match, which is fine. Because, again, that's just heel stuff. That's what you do. But I'm with you. Like, it was pretty wild that happened. Because, yeah, Charlotte does not get beaten frequently at all. I mean, even when she's in a losing tag team, I would imagine that at least 9 times out of 10, her partner is the one taking the pinfall.
And, but it's kind of like, don't worry, she's going to talk because she loves talking. And they love to have her talk and her talk. See, that's what I hate. Y'all just talk too much. It's like, yes, we know Charlotte. Like, it's just, Charlotte loves playing in our faces. And, but it's kind of like they have time to kill because Lashley's basically killing time before he deals with Goldberg, where it's like, whatever. Like, I hope he beat up Goldberg and his son. Like, I'm just sick of all this. Like, no offense. But that's the whole thing. Everyone knows what this is about. And no, I don't see anybody like, yeah, I can't wait for Goldberg. I hope Goldberg wins. They're like, no. They're pissed that it's not Brock Lesnar. And they hope he beats the shit out of Goldberg. See? We cheered that one. He cut one good promo in Denver, and we've been paying for it ever since.
Yeah. And I mean, the worst thing is that as long as Goldberg gets that type of crowd reaction, he's always going to be a safety valve.
Get somebody else. Like, please. I'm like, especially, I don't know if the rumor is true about Brock. Like, y'all should have just got Brock. Pay him what he wants. That's what people wanted to see.
Oh. That's
Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. That was what made SummerSlam exciting. Because guess what? Even if Brock beat Lashley, people wouldn't be that mad. I mean, people would be annoyed, but it's like, they know they get a good match. It will not be the only person that would be happy if Goldberg won. Last name is also Goldberg. That is
yeah.
So like whatever, like, but it's like Raw is kind of like that. You have that, you got Mustafa Ali and Mansoor doing a babyface tandem, which would not have worked, which would not have been done 10 years ago. And of course, I'm like, oh, they're in Chicago, they're losing.
yeah, what I mean, hey.
That? Not like you winning in your hometown. What is that? Did you get robbed when you went back to Carolina as a kid one day? He's like, no one will ever be happy when they go back home.
Oh, man, yeah, I don't, Vince really has a thing for hometowns. It is pretty bizarre. Because there is the occasional win in your hometown in the WWE, but that one is like a 9.5 out of 10 that you're taking the L if you're in the hometown.
Yeah, and it just happened. Well, I like that team. I like the, you know, dynamic where it's like my source does, you know, plucky and he wants to win, and I like chill out. You don't know how it is. Relax. You know, warmed over, and I noticed the crowd likes him with Mustafa Ali. Like, they, like, it's been funny when, since the crowd's been back, who they like and don't like. Like, until, like, when Keith Lee came out, they don't care how many times he, they don't care that he lost. They love some Keith Lee. When Karrion Kross came out, they did not care, give a damn about Karrion Kross.
yeah, that one. That one's going to be pretty interesting. I would imagine with Keith Lee having one win and Karrion Kross having one win that we're going to see a rubber match. And I'm obviously going to hope that it goes Keith Lee's way.
Yeah, I don't get it. Like, I know you need Karrion Kross to do something, but you basically have him on there to win and lose on Raw, and then they don't talk about it on NXT. And it's kind of like, it's, I mean, and one day we'll find, you know, Keith Lee will tell us what happened while he was gone, and people won't have to talk about rumors. But until then, I'm just happy that he won. Because if he would have lost back to back, they'd be like, oh, yeah, Keith Lee to AEW. Like, whenever somebody lose two matches in a row. So, and it's one more thing I want to talk about on Raw before I finish with SmackDown. I'm a fan of goofy storylines when they fit, you know, they fit the role, when they fit the card. I am loving this Eva Marie, Alexa Bliss stuff. Because Eva Marie is just awesome at playing like a ditzy-ass Kardashian. That is her, like, she is amazing at where it's like, you don't know if she's acting or if she's really like that, and it's kind of like she's, like, she's bad on purpose. Because I've seen her in movies, like, in TV shows. She's competent. But it's like, here, it's like, it's like, it's almost like she's awkward in, like, this whole, this clubhouse, yuck. Like, everything is so over the top. Like, I'm, like, she's doing an infomercial. And it's kind of like, it's also another heel versus heel thing.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and it's kind of weird. Especially since, I guess I want some type of resolution as to whether Lily is going to be an alter ego or a physical person.
You know Lily's going to possess Eva Marie. You know exactly where this is going. And Doudrop's going to have to save her. It's because it's kind of like, you know, she has to carry this because her buddy Bray Wyatt got released. And, you know, it's funny we didn't talk about that whole release. I guess a good time was in. It's kind of like, you kind of knew that was coming. I mean, you were surprised, but it was like, they, this whole, well, why did they release him? Like, what else were they going to do with him at this point?
It's a good question. You know, he could, I guess he could have kept on moving with, moving on with feuds, but he's kind of exhausted most of his possible feuds. at this point, multiple times. They're not going to have him go against Roman Reigns again.
I was hoping not. So, but and it's kind of like, you know, this that spooky stuff works as long as you have somebody to play off of it. And it's kind of like, once that whole stuff would happen with Randy Orton, and you know that Randy Orton's not around for, I don't know if it's COVID or vacation, it's kind of like, I mean, put him on SmackDown, there's really nobody can see with on SmackDown that's not going to feel like, it's just kind of like, he's done everything he was going to do, so either you repackage him or you let him go, and they let him go. And it's like if he can find it, if he can find time to do something better or do the same thing, then good. But until then, it's kind of like I have no problem with him leaving. So that whole they dropped the ball, like it wasn't a ball to be dropped. Sometimes you just don't have nothing to do.
I think if they would have handled him better from the get-go, he would have had more longevity with the character. Not having him go from invincible to, you know, losing to Goldberg with a spear, that's a weird trajectory to go on. So, I do think that there's some ball droppage there, but I do agree with you, where he was kind of running out of opponents to work with.
I mean, that's what happens sometimes. You read it long enough, you know, you run out of dance partners.
Yeah. And, I mean, I guess I'm trying to think, because, I mean, Randy Orton has been so smart, just because we're... We were talking about him in reference to him. He's done a pretty good job of staying off TV for short stints to keep his character fresh over the years and to not feud too much with people. But I do feel like Bray Wyatt was pretty much on for a while there. And even though there's a change in character from the Wyatt family to the Funhouse variety, it was still a fairly similar character.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everyone seems to end up in AEW, so we'll see if Bray Wyatt ends up there too.
I mean, when the Rotunda is in the AEW zone.
Yeah, because I mean, he's too big to hit Ring of Honor.
I mean, that's slumming for him.
Oh, man. Yeah, so he either lands in AEW or he legitimately has some problems that he needs to deal with that are not at this juncture public.
I mean, if he has those problems, I hope he takes care of them.
Yeah.
And I want to talk about two more quick things before we go. I'm going to save the important thing for last. But the first one is the quick thing about SmackDown. I haven't talked to you about it. I know the reason why John Cena's fighting Roman Reigns. But for me, it's like, it seems like it serves no purpose beyond he's a big name at SummerSlam. Because it's like, what does Roman Reigns have to gain by beating John Cena at this point?
Not much. I mean, you know, it is pretty easy for any wrestler to go, hey, you beat a part-time wrestler.
Yeah, like, and he already beat John Cena when the whole thing was, okay, John Cena's going to teach him what it means to be a main event. And all everyone thought is, like, John Cena basically ran him down. Like, they brought me in here because you suck. And he won. It's like, and Roman Reigns did. Roman Reigns didn't gain anything from beating John Cena the first time. That's when it could have helped.
Oh,
and now
we're
doing it's like Roman Reigns is he's a man. And he's like, yeah, just this, and nothing he said about John Cena was wrong. It's the same old thing, same music, same outfit. We just doing this. It's like, why are we doing this? Like, I don't go do movies, John Cena. You're a movie star. Why are you wasting your time doing this? But I do love the face he made when John Cena signed a contract. Like, somebody just take a crap on your dinner table and just upset you. Like, Roman Reigns' visuals is amazing.
Yeah, he's been super fun. Just as a character, and the facials that he makes just in conjunction with the stuff that's happening around him has really helped out a lot to sell the character. Just another reason why, yeah, I'm still ready for the WWE to not have Roman Reigns.
Yeah. But until then, it's kind of like I'm just going to enjoy these visuals and just enjoy the whole thing. Because it seemed like, especially like, you know, John Cena's going to Suicide Squad. He's going to have a spinoff of that show. He's going to be in a spy movie with Henry Cavill. He's busy. Is what I'm saying. It's like he does not need this anymore, and Roman doesn't need anymore. And it's just the whole thing is just kind of like I was looking forward to Finn Balor. I knew what was going to happen. Finn Balor versus Roman Reigns, like that was going to be fun. John Cena, Roman Reigns, like they're going to have a very good match. Roman Reigns is going to win, and then you're not going to see John Cena anytime soon. So.
Yeah, I guess I'm not too bummed about Finn Balor maybe getting a little longer feud with Roman Reigns after this whole thing is said and done with.
Yeah, and it's used to bring the Demon back, and they can, and that's a feud where you can do over multiple pay-per-views. John Cena, you're going to have him once, so if you're going to have him, SummerSlam makes sense. And maybe when Cena loses, he can still take some of that money and give it to Baron Corbin because he needs a new shirt.
Is Baron Corbin your last topic? Is that what you saved for last?
No, he is not. It's like he's living the gimmick, so God bless him. That's not my last topic. My last topic is to give a RIP and shout out to Bobby Eaton, who passed away today. Because it's funny, like the last time we did a show, Paul Orndorff had passed and we didn't talk about it. We forgot.
Oh. Yeah.
And I had meant to do that. It's like, it's funny that people know me, like, one of my favorite wrestlers of all time is Bobby Eaton. And it's people like, Bobby Eaton, like, if that's a funny person to have as one of your favorite wrestlers, I told him, it's like, one of the things about the network was, when I was younger, you kind of, like, you don't appreciate certain things, you don't know what to look for. It's like, I saw him, I'm like, hey, cool. I didn't really pay any mind. And then I got older, and I watched more Bobby Eaton. And then I went back to watching Bobby Eaton. He was like Randy Orton before Randy Orton, without the muscles. Like, everything was smooth. He never made any mistake. He was always on point. Everything looked crisp and clean. They treated him, and if you listen to wrestlers talk, what they always say, everyone had respect for Bobby Eaton. They bought more for Bobby. Like, Randy Savage was in the NWO, having a match on Saturday night, selling for Bobby Eaton. Kurt Hennig was selling for Bobby Eaton, like, late night. Bobby Eaton was an OG that everybody respected. And I like, you watch Bobby Eaton, it's like, this is how wrestlers wrestle. And I'm a fan of excellence, understated excellence. And Randy Orton had the same thing. It's like, people ask, well, who you want to wrestle with? They say Randy Orton is like, you mean Mr. Chinlock dude? It's like, people look at it from a fan standpoint, certain things. Whereas, like, you know, RVD stands out because there's an excitement. From a technical standpoint, RVD sloppy, but you don't really pay attention to that because, like, you don't care about that. You just care about the fun stuff.
Yeah, Bobby Eaton was one of those guys that I was not, I was definitely a sucker for the old baby face back in the day as a child when I saw most of his work, because I have not gone back to the network to watch any of that stuff. But the Midnight Express was one of those few heel teams that I'm like, I can get behind these guys. Like, I'm sure I was rooting for the Rock and Roll Express, but I kind of recognized the greatness of Bobby Eaton. And I mostly saw the Stan Lane version of the Midnight Express. And all the tributes, like you said, like all the tributes from the wrestlers, A, talked about him, how good he was in the ring, and then B, evidently he was a genuinely nice guy.
Yeah, like you never heard anything bad said about him, and it's kind of like a man that really cut promos that looked like a regular dude was was just this beloved, awesome wrestler that just wrestled. And it was just amazing. It's kind of like I told people, and it's funny why I tell people, like, you know, watch Bobby Eaton with grown-up eyes. You'll see what I've seen. And they watch, they see, it's like, yeah, Bobby Eaton was awesome. It was just understated. And it's this. And I was wondering what happened because I went on Twitter and I saw all these Bobby Eaton gifts and, like, talking. And I saw he passed away. And it was like, damn. Even though I knew it was kind of like, we reached the age now where a lot of wrestlers, you know, just dying of old age and dying of, like, old age related diseases. And it's just,
oh.
It's been a thing lately.
Yeah. Yeah, we are not, we've joked about the demographics going up for wrestling. And since we're in those demographics, you know, because there are just some crazy things that are hitting for me that I'm going like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that just happened. Like, it shocked me a couple of weeks ago when Ted Ginn Jr. announced that he was retiring from the NFL and that he'd been in the NFL for 14 years. And I'm like, wasn't he just playing for Ohio State?
Asante Samuel Jr. is going to be in the NFL this year. And Patrick Surtain Jr. is going to be also in the NFL. And I remember when their fathers were young. And now their sons are playing. Like, we're not talking about, like, Shaq's son being, like, you know, in college like that. We're talking about, you know, people that were playing, that were, like, playing, like, the 2000s. Or maybe they're playing for, like, you know, 2009, 2010. And now they have children that are in the NFL, where it's like, yes, time flies, you know, with a lot of these wrestlers.
Yeah, and I mean, that was too bad, too, with Bobby Eaton. I mean, I'd still say only 62, considering that I have two parents that are far north of that number. You know, that's a little bit of a bummer that we lost to Eaton that early.
Yeah, it's like, you know, RIP to a great one. I feel like it was a perfect, you know, perfect way to end the show on a melancholy but positive note.
Okie dokie. Since it's National IPA Day, as we record here, Jackie O's Heat Seeker Hazy Double IPA is my Belltime beer of the show. 9% alcohol. Does not list an IBU, but very, very tasty beer. And Jackie O's is nationally recognized, so get their beer if you have a chance to get your hands on it at any time. I'm at DeFrango 11. That is at Texas Drugs. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us any number of places, whether it be Spotify, iHeartRadio, or which one am I going to pick this time? Stitcher. And I'll let Shahid do his usual wrap-up.
For Kevin DeFrango, I'm Shahid Abdul-Hadi, and RIP to beautiful Bobby B.